Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We are going to be in the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 2. Last week we were in the Gospel of John, right? We looked at John chapter 1, and we talked about Jesus being the light of the world. Some of the points there were that Jesus always has been. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, that Jesus existed before his incarnation here on earth, okay? He has always been God. He always will be God. He is God, all right? So he's not a knockoff of God. Scripture is very clear that Jesus is God, the third person, second person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the third. All right, he's the light of the world. And we talked about that Jesus is God who came to earth in flesh and he dwelt among us. Discovering the Christ of Christmas. So in the second part here, I want us to look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Now the interesting thing about Luke is that as all the gospel writers, none of them were eyewitnesses to the birth of Jesus, were they? Think about that a moment. None of them were, to our knowledge. They came along later when Jesus was 30, 33 years old when he began his public ministry. Peter, James, John. So John and John Mark, so the Gospel of Mark, John, Matthew, they were disciples or followers of Christ. John Mark went on some missionary journeys with Paul. Okay, so they were there. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry, but not of his birth. Luke wasn't part of any of that. He gets saved later on in life, probably under Paul's ministry. And so to talk to a friend of his, Theophilus, who was maybe like a Roman centurion or something like that, he goes and researches and interviews all the major players in the gospel narrative. And you have the Gospel of Luke, all right? And so what I want you to imagine is that I have a feeling that Luke went to Bethlehem, went to Jerusalem, went to Galilee, and he began to sit down with people. And I believe one of the people he sat down and talked with was Mary. And says, tell me about that night. Tell me about the events that took place the night that Jesus was born and the events after that. Luke has some of the most detailed information. He was a doctor. He took that precision and that meticulousness, if that's a word, into writing his gospel and researching what he reported, not only for Theophilus, but even still for us today. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it speaks to us still today. It was alive back then and it's still alive for us today. It is there to teach us, to help us to know God and to help us to learn about you. And Father, we just thank you for your word. Let it apply to our hearts today. Let it speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2, let's begin with verses 1 through 7. It said, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. So they're under Roman rule, okay? That all in the world should be registered. So kind of, they say the world, but Rome had a pretty large footprint at that time. And so every 14 years they would, at least at that point in history, they would require a census. So you had to go back to your hometown, okay? So for me, I'd have to go back to Mayville, North Dakota, say, hey, I'm still alive, check me off, okay? And I have maybe a wife and a son and daughter, okay? For Joseph, it meant going back to where? Bethlehem. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all that went to register, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. So Galilee is up in north. Bethlehem is in the south of Israel. Okay, Galilee, Nazareth is up by the Sea of Galilee. And so Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, down to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Okay, that's literally what it means. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was called the bread of life? You think that's by chance? I don't think so. because he was of the house and lineage of David. So now we get that connection. Jesus was going to come out of the lineage of who? What does this prophecy say? He would be of the lineage of David. And you'll see, you look in the Gospels, they have the lineage and it takes you through David. And so he would also, Scripture says that he will one day sit on David's throne. All right? So there's that connection with David. And so they go to Bethlehem, the city of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed. Now, they were actually married at this time, but if we can just put it, Joseph hadn't slept with Mary in an intimate way, even though she was pregnant through the Spirit of God, all right? And so they were married, they belonged to one another, and she was with child. And while they were there, of course, what happens? The time came to give birth. I'm sure that 20-30 mile ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem did nothing to, I mean, it kind of helped the process along, right? Just think about that, ladies. 8-9 months pregnant, and you're riding on a donkey going down the road. Yes. And the time came for them to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, another strips of linen, nothing nice. She didn't have a baby shower to wrap him in nice clothes. It was strips of linen, okay? Laying him in a manger. Manger would be in a feeding trough, okay? And most likely, because of Mary was pregnant, they probably did not make as good a time as some of the other people did, right? They had probably tend to, you know, stop to take some breaks for her to walk and things like that. And so they get there late, and because of that, there is no room for them, right? In the end, right? So the best they can find is probably a stable, and many think it was probably a cave. It was probably a cave that's where they spent the night, and that's where the Christ of our world would be born. Interesting. Luke includes a lot of details that the others do not. And as he probably sat down with Mary and got these events, I believe it touched his heart. And I believe that some of those things were still very powerful within the heart of Mary. And when Jesus stepped into the life of Mary and Joseph, it really turned their world upside down, didn't it? You know, here Mary was a promising young lady, beautiful, planned to be engaged, to be married to Joseph. Life was good. And then God shows up one night in the form of an angel and says, hey, you're going to be a child, except you're not going to have a husband. You're just going to be pregnant, which people aren't going to like because they think you've been unfaithful to somebody. And people are going to look down on you because of it. See, life was going along until Jesus stepped into their life. Joseph, the same way. Man, he had a beautiful wife to be. Life was good. Things were going along. All of a sudden, he finds out his wife's pregnant. And finally, an angel shows up to him and says, hey, this is what's going on. Joseph is not sure what to believe. Okay? Put yourself in their shoes. You know, the movies do a lot to capture that special moment when Jesus was born. They glamorize it. You know, there's lights and it kind of glows. I don't know. You can't really see it here. There's kind of one there. This is the faded version one of it. But, you know, we try to glamorize it. But when Jesus stepped into their life, it probably caused some anxiety and caused some stress. It caused some difficulty in their life, didn't it? In all reality, it did. It messed up their plans and their future. What they had laid out, it totally messed it up. And you know, I may not be thinking about this, but my first point is that the birth of Jesus caused great anxiety. I think it did in Mary and Joseph's life. It caused sleepless nights. Maybe even some tears. But Jesus stepped into their life and turned the world upside down. And I just want to say that sometimes when Jesus steps into our life, sometimes we think everything's going to be good, everything's going to be grand. But sometimes when Jesus steps into our life, he turns our world upside down. And sometimes the plans we have laid out for us aren't the plans he has for us. Now, Mary and Joseph, when they got to the end of their life or down the road, they thought, and things had stabilized, I think they were okay with things. But initially, the birth of Jesus caused a lot of anxiety in their life. To their credit, Mary and Joseph stayed the course. They trusted God, even when things did not make sense. And when Jesus steps into our life, there will be times where we don't understand what in the world God is doing. Life can take turns that we don't expect. But we learn from Mary and Joseph that if we can trust God, that even in these things that don't make sense, God will, for one, provide. Number two, he'll be faithful, won't he? God didn't leave Mary and Joseph just out in the street to have a child. He provided a warm place for them to be. It was humble, but it was warm. Jesus survived, right? Can you imagine them giving birth to people, you know, giving birth to babies today in that environment? Man, and you know, they would say it's unsanitary, it's unhealthy, it's not heated, you know. But that's where the Savior of the world was born. Isn't that incredible? But that's not the end. Let's go into verses 8 through 18. It says, the shepherds and the angels in the same region were there. They were out in the field watching their flocks by night. Okay, they're doing what shepherds do. And it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Okay, they most likely they'd been, this wasn't their first time taking care of the sheep, okay? But this was different. They never had an angelic host fill up the sky before, and they were filled with fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Savior, meaning he would save us from our sins. Christ, meaning anointed one. So in the Old Testament, the anointed, that word anointed one, we would say Messiah. Okay, that's what anointed one means. But is the one that God has appointed to lead his people. He'll be called the Savior, the Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude with him, and the host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels had went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And when they went with haste, kind of like when kids are going to the lunchroom, okay, you know, go up to the high school there for lunch for teammates, and they're supposed to be walking, but this is their walking. Okay, all right. The shepherds were probably doing that too, you know. What were the shepherds' names? We'll say they were Zach and Cody. So they were seeing who could get there first, right? They went with haste, right? To see what would have been. They wanted to be the first one in there, right? And when the angels, when the shepherds went there, they saw it. And when they went there, okay, they found the baby lying in the manger, verse 16. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And so they began to spread the word. And the shepherds would be the first evangelists. And here again, this is where the story of Christ, of Jesus being born, really takes a weird twist. Because if you were God, who would you want to declare, proclaim the birth that your son had been born into the world? You know, wouldn't you want to proclaim it in the palace? Wouldn't you want to proclaim it like on Facebook or Twitter, right? Right? Of course, it's fake. You don't know if it's fake or true, right? Right? If it's on Facebook, right? Yeah. All right? You know, wouldn't you want to put it out there in other forms? And yet, I think we learned something about God here. That God revealed it to shepherds. And shepherds were not on the high order of the social class, okay? they were kind of down here. One, because they didn't get a bath very frequently. But, you know, shepherds are held in high esteem in Scripture. But in society, they probably were not the wealthiest people. You could tell if they'd been out in the field for a while because you would probably be walking by them like this. They hadn't shaved. They hadn't been cleaned up. You're working with sheep, okay? Sheep aren't the cleanest animals out there. But that's who God first proclaims, that, hey, my son has been born, all right? I remember those days, right, when your child's born, you put up the sign in the yard, right? Okay, especially when it's the first one. And God said, hey, my son has come into the world. And he has the angels, you know, lighting up the sky. But it's to shepherds he reveals that to. Now later we have the wise men coming in, and I think we see that God's plan of salvation, his son, was to address, to be there for rich and poor, for high and low, for the whole world. I think that's the message that God wanted to get across. It'd be interesting to know if Luke was able to track down one of the shepherds that was still living. Sit down with him and say, hey, tell me about that night. Almost seems like he did, didn't he? Just the events that he includes that the others do not include. He says, tell me about that night. And, you know, if he was able to find one of them, I wonder if that shepherd still had that. You could see it in his eyes, the passion, the, maybe even tears or joy, as he described what had happened and taken place, and as Luke wrote those things down. It would be something that you would never forget till the day you died. Am I right? What we see recorded here? It would be one of those things that you just do not forget. What we know is that their fear was replaced by excitement and hope as they saw this child, just as the angels had proclaimed. And they could not contain it. I don't know if they were the evangelistic type. I don't know if they were outgoing. I don't know if they were introverts. But all I know is that as they left there, they were telling everybody that they could about that this Christ had been born, because they were excited. When you're excited about something, I don't care if you're an introvert or not, you tell people, right? Even the most shy person says, hey, had a baby boy today. Or, I don't want to say you won the lottery. I'll think of something else. It's a little more. They were the ones that were the bearers of the good news. You know, and you really think about it, often they were the ones to get the news last, right? Yeah, they were up on the hillside. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have internet. So they were up on a hillside. They were totally isolated from everybody. And so they were usually the last to find out about things. It's, you know, because word spread, right? Just by oral communication, okay? You talk, you spread, okay? They would say, hey, did you hear about this? As people would pass by. That's how news traveled. And so they were usually the last ones to find out about something. But you know what? This time, they were on the inside track, weren't they? And they were the ones that were telling other people, hey, you need to go check that out. The Savior of the world has just been born. And everybody's going, what were you guys smoking out there, right? Right? But people went and saw it for themselves and saw that the Christ had been born. The birth of Jesus, secondly, not only did cause great anxiety, it caused great excitement in their lives, but in the world around them. You know, when Jesus steps into our lives, it causes excitement too. I hope you can remember the day that you accepted Christ into your heart and life, the joy that you felt, the excitement, the forgiveness of sins, the hope. The birth of Jesus caused great excitement. And lastly, let's look at verses 19 through 20. It says, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them, right? But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. I think that's about what every mom would do. She had already had an angelic visitation telling her what was going to happen. But it says that she treasured all these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, as it had been told them. And at the end of the days, he was circumcised and he was called Jesus. That was told to Matthew by the angel. And the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. For Mary and Joseph, the birth of Jesus caused great anxiety. It caused excitement. But the third one there is it caused great wonder. Great wonder. And I think Mary was just kind of, she wasn't out there telling people. She was just kind of soaking it in because there was a lot that she didn't understand. Now, it's been a while since I've completed a fill-in-the-dot, you know, or puzzle. When's the last time, right? Okay. You know what fill-in-a-dot is, right? You got all these dots, and you have to connect the dots, right? And you find out what it is. Okay, now, if you're good, you kind of have it figured out, you know. But a hard one, it's kind of like, what in the world is this until you get all the dots completed? And I think that's what life looked like for Mary at that point. You have this, you have this, you have this, you have this, you have this. But how in the world do those dots connect, and how do they make sense? They didn't. And so she just treasured those things in her heart. And even when Jesus starts his public ministry, she doesn't understand, and she tries to interfere, and Jesus says, you know, my father, my mother, my father are the ones that follow after me. It's kind of like Mary had to be singing, what in the world? Is my son disowning me? And then you have the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross, and she's standing there watching her son being crucified, the Savior of the world, and it's like a, you know, those nails are going through her hands and feet and through her heart because that's her son. The dots didn't make sense. But I believe by the time after Jesus had been resurrected, all of a sudden those dots began to make sense because now the lines are connected. But Mary, it caused great wonder in Mary's heart. You know, when Jesus steps into our life, sometimes it can cause anxiety. Sometimes it causes great excitement. And other times it's like that connect the dot picture. God reveals something here, he reveals something here, he reveals something here. And you say, God, how do these dots connect? Because right now, I don't see the whole picture. It doesn't make sense. Just like Mary. But you know what? If we can stay the course as Mary and Joseph did, I believe that God can reveal himself. He shows his faithfulness. He shows his provision. He shows his awesomeness to us. I'm going to have the musicians come. Mary and Joseph took one day at a time. I can only imagine the anxiety that Joseph felt as he led the donkey down the road to Nazareth. And then to find out that they're being pursued by Herod. Angel wakes them up in the middle of the night and says, hey, get up. Get your donkey, get your wife, get your child. And in the middle of the night, they go to Egypt. You know? You talk about a fast move, folks. They're running for their life to Egypt. Unknown land, a place they'd never been before. Anxious moments, right? But God protected them there. Eventually, they get word that Herod has died so they can come back, settle in Nazareth. We don't know what happens to Joseph because he's not around at the ministry of Jesus. He's around at age 12, and Jesus was 12. But what we learn through their story and through their life events, that as Jesus stepped into their life, yeah, there was some crazy moments. But as they worshiped God, as they were faithful, God led them each step of the way. He provided for them. And God will provide for us. He'll provide for us. I want us to close with this chorus. I wanted to make for you, let it be your prayer this morning. Would you stand this morning? Gil and Emily and Josh and Karen will be at the back if you need prayer this morning. But would you make this your prayer this morning, just of worship unto God? And I don't know if you came in excited today about Christmas. I don't know if you came in anxious about Christmas. Maybe you came in with wonder. I'm not sure which feeling or emotion you have this morning. But what I do know is that Christmas, if we want to really capture what Christmas is about, we have to turn our eyes upon Christ and upon the child. If we get distracted by other things, we totally miss what Christmas is about. Amen? And so this is a new chorus they sang it during the offering. Would you join us? Just a very worshipful.